morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Well, I'll tell you, this story is like something out of a novel.
It certainly is.
Yeah, John Ambrose, stellar career, 42 years old, part of the Witness Protection Program. And the way that they found out that there may be a leak is from a couple of mobsters who were having a discussion in a visiting room.
Right, right. They overheard it, and they found out that there could be some problem. And I will tell you, the U.S. Marshals Service really protects this program, and they're very proud of their record in having protected every single witness who's been put into the program, so long as the witness follows the rules.
Yeah, there's been a few witnesses who were a little flamboyant going
right.
back to their old ways over the years,
right.
but without absolute confidence on the part of the witnesses, nobody would get involved.
Well, you know, we actually had some folks from the Marshals Service on our Fed Talk show a few weeks ago, and they were explaining how these people really don't want to testify, but they have no choice because they're going to be killed anyway. So their cooperation is made a little bit easier by assuring them that they can have a future life that's protected, where they're at least out of harm's way from mobsters.
Now, talk to us about the appeal that will go forward with Deputy Marshal John T. Ambrose. He says that he was just bragging about the Witness Protection Program and his role to another officer, and he really wasn't trying to leak information. Apparently, the courts didn't believe that was the case.
Well, the jury didn't believe it. Apparently, the jury convicted him after 3 days of deliberation. And you know, according to the article I read, there were some pretty high-level witnesses here. The U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald, who's the same person who prosecuted Scooter Libby, and is also going after the governor of former governor of Illinois, the head of the FBI Chicago office, apparently confronted Mr. Ambrose, which shows the level of concern about this program. And they testified that he, when confronted with the information that he had supposedly leaked, he admitted doing so. Now, he may have indicated in the trial that it wasn't intentional, that he wasn't really trying to give information about the program, that he may have been bragging a little bit. But that on appeal, depending on what the judge's instructions were to the jury and the admissibility of the evidence, I don't know exactly what the appellate court's going to look at.
And, Bill, I mean, just to clarify, even telling someone that you are an official in that program is itself a violation, right? Because that subjects you to extortion or other kinds of threats if someone knows that you could give up information about a witness.
Well, I think that there are some very, very important rules about the program. I don't know exactly how far you would have to go before you violate a criminal statute connected with the program. I mean, he was charged with lying to law enforcement officers, which apparently he was acquitted of, but he was convicted of leaking details of the program.
And so what's his punishment? What's the possible punishment for this?
Well, I think he'll go to jail for a while if the conviction holds up. I don't know exactly what what he could get, but he will be sentenced, I know, in September, and I'm pretty sure that it carries with it a jail sentence. I would think that would be very likely.
And when a police officer goes to jail, they don't just go to a normal jail, do they? I mean, because I would think their lives would be in danger.
That's a problem that the Bureau of Prisons would have to protect him, but there are a number of rules on which prison they go to, depending on what type of crime they're convicted of and how long they're sentenced for. But people like former police officers who do go to jail do receive some special protection.
We're talking this morning to Bill Bransford, partner in the law firm Shaw, Bransford, Vayu & Roth, and one of the co-hosts of The Legal Loop, which airs here, or actually one of the co-hosts of Fed Talk, which airs here Friday mornings at 11.
And so, Bill, given your knowledge of how federal agencies operate, would you expect that the Marshal Service itself would undergo some kind of internal review and maybe look at everything top to bottom? Because, they don't know whether this is just the tip of the iceberg or just an isolated case.
I know from my discussions with folks in the Marshal Service that they are very, very careful about this program, and I am sure that they have let their other deputy marshals know about this particular case, about their lack of tolerance for it, about their vigor in coming after people who are not careful with protecting information. I am sure that they're It's something that constantly takes place in the Marshal Service. This is a very important program to them.
And when people go, just to clarify what it means to go into the witness security program, that means your background is completely scrubbed. You become another human being. Once you've testified, then they put you in some sort of secret location, and you can't go back to your old life, your friends, your family,
That's
any
right.
of that.
You can't contact anyone that you used to know, including family members. You're put in another part of the country. You're given another identity. You're given another career, another type of job, a place to live, and you're given good, solid protection. But if you violate that by going back to the people that you used to know and contacting them in one bit, you put yourself in jeopardy. And this is one of the very clear rules of the program that's communicated to the witnesses. And most people follow it.
Yeah, probably.
They understand that if they don't, they're going to be killed.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing to stay off Facebook and so forth if you're in that program. But do you check in regularly with the Marshal Service, like as if you're on parole?
I don't know the detail of how it works, but I think there is monitoring by the Marshal Service.
Well, you'd think, boy, I'll tell you, with the world the way it is, shrinking the way that it is, and media as frequent as it is, it's a wonder anybody can lead a second life in this country or any place else for that matter.
Well, you know, the government can do some really great things when it tries to, and I think letting somebody have a new identity, as long as the person cooperates, is something that they've obviously been successful with. And of course, they need to rely on their people to make sure that it doesn't become a problem. And I don't know whether Mr. Ambrose intentionally leaked this information or if he was negligent, but obviously the jury thought it was intentional.